I've really been doing a lot of searching besides what the Lord's been giving me. And, you know, I come to one common answer. It's in the Word. The Lord put me in Isaiah yesterday and really touched my heart. We'll get into it in a minute, but it's a passage that a lot of people use all the time. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and starts telling you why, then it makes a lot more sense to it than it does when you just read it. The emphasis comes on different. You know, really what it's all about is words. How we make it through life is just plain our words, how we set them in motion. And if we're in hostility, they don't go forth very good. If we're angry, you know, I mean, in the natural, you take someone who's just a tyrant, no one hardly likes to be around him. You know, he's tough to be around. God has the good things, and the Lord has some wonderful issues, wonderful purposes, and I'm really persuaded he just wants to be with his people. You know, that's really where it's. If you had a big family, and there were some of them that just would never come close to you, every time you come around, they'd sort of, you know, break your heart if you really loved them. And sometimes those things happen, but God's got the biggest family it's ever been. He started many years ago, and we're part of it.
Amen.
And through that family, he's making a wonderful home. I mean, that home is spotless, it's perfect, it's climate controlled, every day is a good day, and don't need no firemen, no policemen, no hang-ups, no doctors, no lawyers, no prisons, no counterfeit money. We got the real stuff up there.
Amen.
And it's a wonderful place. It's such a challenge for most of us to think about crossing over, because we've grown up where we've grown up, and we get familiar where we are. And I think that familiar is what's happening while we're straying away from the Spirit of God. There's something upon us that doesn't really want to talk about those things, because that's in the natural man. It's scary to all of us when you think about where there's going to be a point of day when the Bible says, and we know, every person's going to be accountable at that time according to us believers. And I see there's a problem, because the Word of God says that many are called and few are chosen. And you'll say, we've done these wonderful things. He says, you workers of iniquity, I know you not. So we see those kind of answers and words spoken in the Word of God. And they should mean something to our heart, because they're in that kind of a phrase. It lets us believe that maybe God's saying, church, you need to come a little closer. So, you know, we don't like to run people off, but also we might make them sure that they understand what God's saying. And I believe that's what we're getting today. Many people, the interpretation is so far from the truth. You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's no arguments about the truth. The Bible says we're not to even argue. We don't even have to, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord is, it's silent. We don't have to question it. We're not to debate. We're not to argue. That's not part of our chemistry. That's not part of our makeup. God wants our children to walk in harmony, to walk in love, walk benefited by Him. And He wants to benefit us. He wants to propose to us that many times we go by our sight and we see ahead of us problems. We see downfalls. We hear of our papers are full of killings. All these things is coming to pass. These are tragedies. And we're seeing these. But God says, oh, child, look up. Don't put your eyes on what you're seeing. Because I'm coming back, and this place that you're living in is very temporal. It's very without cause. It's not lasting. And what I'm giving to you will be forever and ever and ever. And you know, down here you have a tendency of catching cold. You have a tendency of getting a toothache. You get a backache. You get all these aches that we are chronic. We all have chronic pains unless God touches us in a very special way. And that's the process of life. We go through problems. We face difficulties. We face those in the name of the Lord, that we might be strong in the Lord. And God does it purposely, that we might grow in Him, looking to Him to solve the problems. If these problems can't be solved in ourselves, we don't have the answers. But He's the answer. I'm a simple, simple, simple person. But just to have His glory outdoes all the great, what do you call these great people? No, orators and all the great thinkers and all the great judges and all the great philosophers and all the great teachers. God is beyond that. And I believe that is the great fallacy, if I can use that word, of the church. Our churches have went in for great knowledge. Father, we just thank you. Father, you see my heart here tonight. I feel like that I'm inadequate. to do anything for you because you're so wonderful and I'm just an old boy. Really don't know too much. And in the eyes of many people, I'm not very smart and I understand that. And I feel almost uncomfortable. But when your spirit comes upon me, you take away that uncomfortableness and you fill with your joy. And I can just tag along with you. That's what you promised me. You told me if I would just be faithful, that when I got old, you'd bless me. You'd strengthen me. If I would work and work hard like I did, there'd be a time when you was going to use me. And Father God, I don't have the answers. I don't really know nothing. But I know you have all these answers. And you have the intent of our hearts. And everyone in this room and where this word might go out to, you have a message for each one of us. And nothing can reach our heart like the love of God, like Jesus Christ, like the blessings of the Lord. There's nothing can touch us like the liberty that comes from you, O Lord. And Father, I feel nothing. I ask forgiveness. I am so unworthy. But thou art so wonderful. Thou art so higher. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. And many people would say that's not fitting to pray in the Spirit. But I'll tell you, I love you, Father. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the power of God and salvation to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, to us this day. And Father, thank you. We praise you that you included us this night beyond the realm of the Jewish nation. And you included us that whosoever will can come unto thy name and be followers and be partakers of thy inheritance that fades not away, reserved in heaven. And Father, we thank you that you're special because we're richer than a millionaire because you care. And Father, we thank you that you've transferred our sins from now, put in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered, never to be even spoken of no more, never to be even thought about. And Father, what a wonderful God that you love us so wonderful. And Father, we know your word said we could not be saved within ourselves. There's no good thing within us. And Father, this day we pray that you'd move mightily. I don't know what you want, but Father, I pray that you'd move in a mighty way, and I pray that you'd touch our hearts this night. Father God, we pray that you'll touch our hearts in heaven. And Father, we pray that these Thursday nights and Sunday nights and the time, Father, that you prescribe for us, glory to God, that it'll be you that speak. And Father, I just pray that I could be used to you. That's all I want to do. And Father, well, I believe that's the will of us here this day, that we'll just transform my will and our hearts in such a special way, Lord God, that you'll be satisfied with us, that you'll be pleased with us, that we can minister your love, that we can minister your grace, that we can minister your special touch. And Father, we can minister that healing touch of heaven. And Father, you grant us the positions that we can pray and we see results as we pray. When we call upon thy name, we see that people are touched. People are saved. People who become joyful. People become healed. People that had no life, pretty soon they become alive. Amen. And they receive that abundant life, that abundant blessing. Amen. And Father, we just pray that you'd bless in a mighty way. And we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. In his name, amen. Oh, I feel the presence of God. 40th chapter of Isaiah. The Lord started speaking to me yesterday about this. And there's scripture in 40th chapter of Isaiah that says, hast thou known, hast thou unheard, the everlasting God. Oh, come. Really? Lord, I'm not worthy of you. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Oh, praise God. Thank you. The Creator of the ends of the earth, faineth not, neither does he go weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And I'd like to stop right there that this God that we serve knows all, is all. He knew it before it ever started. And I was reading tonight in Hebrews that Jesus, the author, you know, the all authors, you probably read good books. The author knows what the end before, because he's writing it. Well, Jesus, the author and finisher of our course, of our faith. Yeah. So he knows. Glory! There's no guesswork in it. If God be for you, who could be against you? Greater is he that's within you, he is in the world. Let not your heart be troubled. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He is our waymaker. He is our peacemaker. He's the advocate. It says, little children, these things are writing you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation of our sin, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole. Doesn't it make you happy? Glory! That we have a Redeemer that so loved us, not like old Buddha or some of these fake gods, but our God is real. Our God is just. You know, and our God knows what's going on now. The Lord starts speaking to my heart, and then the scripture, it lifts up the fact of God's eternal beyond description. We can even be beyond anything that we can imagine. But the Lord spoke to my heart just as clear as me. He says, most of my churches think that I'm way far off. And these promises in here is not for us. So they've learned to take the Word of God and study it and to come up with their own philosophy. God says, I don't care about their philosophy. I want my philosophy. And then the Lord spoke to my heart. He says, what these words say, you know, the Bible says in Corinthians, it says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. It's not in the church. You're the temple of the living God. I'd like to see a church building go down here and save anybody out of jail. Wouldn't do it. But churches are good when a lot of people assemble in it. And it's not in the faith. That's where the power is. It's not in the building structure. It has no merit, no, it's just there. It's a building.
Yes.
So we got to recognize it in that order that God is the reason for the building. And God is above the building, and God is the building. So if you're going to have a building, you must come up to a certain qualification before you ever build a building, because God is the answer why you're building the building. You're not building the building just to have a choir. You're not building the building just to have a pastor. You're building the building to create God's growth in the Spirit. We need that Spirit growth in us to develop us from babies into His blessings. And this 40th chapter, it's really powerful. There is no searching of an understanding. He giveth power to faint. The youth shall faint and be weary. Young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up the wings as eagles. Eagles, the Lord spoke to my heart that most of His church are like a bunch of little eaglets. They never got out of the basket. And they're still there and they've never soared. So the eaglet has to look for feeding. So the eaglet, when he comes, he sits in the nest. He stays there and the mother goes out. And the father, I don't know which way, but anyway, they go out and they soar and they bring back food for the eaglets. But there comes a time when those eaglets got to jump ship. They got to get out and soar for themselves. And that's the way the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need the unction of the Holy Ghost to touch us down in our heart that we are more than conquerors through Him which loved us. Greater is He that's within us, He that's within the world. Let not your heart be troubled. So many people, our hearts are troubled. They're afraid. God has not given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. There is a power that God wants to generate to the believers that we might receive power. And when you really come in the depth where God has shown me is really sort of vivid in what's taking place, that actually a believer that's come into the Lord, we can actually take that young one and they will lose the growth. You know, Japan had made dwarf trees. And you do it, you let that tree grow just a little, and then you stop it. You keep on until it can't grow no more. And you can do the same with human beings instead of just stopping, and pretty soon they'll be very little, very small. You just bring them down. If you've got a doctor there that can stop and bring them down because they don't get the vitality, and they remain as a infant in size. And also in our ability, we grow to the stages where we are a grown-up individual. In the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's looking for people that's grown up. Be strong in the Lord in the power of might. Put you on the whole armor of God. It says He doesn't call novices to the world of God. God says that. He calls us soldiers. A soldier is one that tells his nation when he takes that pledge, make you raise your right hand, you take an oath that you'll uphold. If it means your life, whatever it means, you're going to uphold your nation at any cost. You're going to give your life. You're going to no longer be sent where you want to be sent. It'd be nice if you could, but the military doesn't send it that way. They want to send you to Vietnam or Korea. They just send you. They don't ask you if you don't like it. They just say, send, and you, when you get there, take my orders. For my orders, the military gives you orders every day of your life. And those orders are to fulfill the leadership of the command that's over you. And that's how wars are won, because everybody's in sync, all believing and receiving the same message. There's not one general out here saying this and that, but if you're under General Patton, you got His message, the whole, went down through the divisions, it went through the company commanders, it come down to the platoon leaders, to the sergeant, to the squad leaders, and it was all the same, and never varied. And that's what we need, the power from the God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's ministering through the Spirit of God, that we're not having fights one to another, we're not bickering one another. It's God's ministry, it's His calling, it's His direction. When you start thinking at the global effort, it comes with little people like us, we're serving the living God, and there's no differences. We find that God moves upon us with His mighty hand. He's not short concerning His promises. As some men count slack, long-suffering, us we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God is forever faithful. He realized that when He made us, that we had to keep growing, and there's no retirement. I've got good news here. I believe it's not retiring. I'm not retiring until Jesus takes me home, or until I can't, something happens to my mind. I can't think. And then I think God take over anyway He has right now. But this is what God wants us to grow in the nature and admonition of the Lord. He wants to grow in us the quality that if we were the only people on earth, one person, you're by yourself, you can live for God. If one person, I can live by God myself. I love the fellowship. But if I had to come down to right to the Father, I could make it by myself. Because God has given me enough strength and given me the power, because greater is He that's within you, He is in the world. Going back to that in Corinthians, what agreement had a temple of God for you? The temple of the living, as God has said, I will dwell in them, not with them, in them, and I shall walk in them, not with them. I've been a little guilty there myself. I thought, but there's a lot of difference. You know, the Lord spoke to my heart and says, you know, you can tell someone there's a piece of cake out here, and they say, you look at it. But until you eat it in you, you don't really know the fulfillment that cake means to you, or whatever the food is, because it's there to bring a quality of life. And spiritually, we're what we eat, because God is supernatural. God is not just a vessel out here. He is beyond any highest degree. He knows more, sees more, and is more. And He proved it to me that I could think I could go out. And this happened for about 15 years straight. So I believe I have a qualified to say nothing else that I know my God moves. And when He tells you to do it, it's exactly like He says. There's no question about it. People don't like me to tell them that because they know, oh, you're just, no, I'm telling the truth. God is real. If I have to testify to nothing else, He is real. I mean, I'm not the best orator, but He is real. God never leaves you. He never forsakes you. And He will give you insight before things take place. He is very up to date. He gives you information before the cow eats the cabbage. He gets all those things before you. There's any question about it. He puts you up. You don't even know there's any struggle. He says, wait. There's going to be a problem in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, there was a problem. And this happens all the time. God is ever faithful. And He wants us so generous in life that we'll be like Abraham. That we're only going through this world. That our citizenship is not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Because we're going home to see our Lord. The one that loves us. The one that loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the love of our Father, that God gave His only Son that we shall live. And Jesus says, it's needful, if I go away, for I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, yeah, I will send the Comforter, and He shall reprove the world of sin and lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then St. John, it says, the world cannot see Him, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him because He dwelleth in you. Not with you, in you. Not with you, in you. God dwells in us. Yes. It's positive. It's not just an old, you know, just having an acquaintance. No, He's in us. And with that, He has a direction to keep us in harmony, that our days can be lightened, because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And we're not in a big head, but He denoted this because He loved us so much. He seen it many years ago that we would fall, especially in the last hour, unless we had that infilling of His presence. We would not be able to cope with the things that would face us because there's too much wickedness. Too much things have went too far, and now they're off-colored. Many things we see, people say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. Well, when you see the bottom line, there's a lot wrong with it. And God understands. He helps us to observe His commandments. He helps us to walk righteously with His presence. He helps us to walk above reproach. He helps us to walk in deity of God's Spirit, that we don't have to question what He says, what we do, because we can know it's from heaven. Now, we don't go out and make quarrels. We don't go out and tell people they're wrong. We don't do any of those kind of things. But in our heart, we know where we are. No one can take what's in your heart. And God doesn't want us to go out and be fools. He wants us to be led by the Spirit. There's a lot of difference. And we do that. See, we want to go out and do our thing. That's the way most of the believers. I'm going to go build a church. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go to Africa for God. Lord, they not tell you to go to Africa. But they're doing this, but they don't even know His voice. And that's where the problem is. My sheep know my call, and a stranger they do not know. It says, the enemy cometh to kill, destroy, and steal. But I have come that you might have life and more abundant life. Glory! Amen. Hallelujah! Glorious life, beautiful life, wonderful life, obtainable life. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Yes.
Hallelujah! Glory to God. When you're happy, you can't get sick. If happy is happy, happy. We need to be happy in the Lord. He is precious. He is gracious. He is wonderful. But I know this turns off a lot of people. But it's nevertheless, it's true. Now, we don't go to agitate people. And I know I'm very careful not to say things to offend people. God tells me to do that. We have to learn to handle ourselves. We don't come out here and have where attention is directed toward us. We don't do these things to get attention. We don't go into church and say, look who I am. No. You come in, you just sit in the corner and sort of switch down, hides a little bit. But you're not to bring the attention. The Spirit of God does all those wonderful areas. I've never had so much excitement, so much joy. In life, you find occupations as fulfilling. You know, there's things that you do and you sort of enjoy it. Like I enjoy running a cat or a piece of equipment. Like, I like really working, running them better than I do working on them. But, nevertheless, I've had to work on them. But there's enjoyment, satisfaction in some things we do. Like when you make a dress or do whatever you do, it's satisfaction because you're doing it. But when you do these things for the Lord, it's beyond, it's like a part of God Himself comes into you. And He leaves it there. It's like part of Him. And when you pray for someone, Brother Clinton, I went down Terry here in town, and when I, on a Friday night, I went to the ICU and they said, you can go in and talk to her or pray with her as long as you don't make any noise. So I went in there and she was totally out of it. She was in bad shape, been with drugs and all the things went with them. And so I prayed for her and I felt the Lord really touching her a very special way. But I didn't open my mouth. Outside, no one even know I said anything. I didn't attract attention or make anybody say, well, look at who's here. And so I prayed and I left. And so I asked on the way out, I says, how long would she think she'd be in here? And he says, well, at least we figure 6 weeks if she makes it. And she says, she might not make it. Next morning, Brother Clinton's a witness. I got it. We went down to the ICU and he gets on the phone because Brother Clinton's sort of the leader that way. They get on the phone and he says, I want to talk to Terry. And what'd they tell you? She's gone on it. And we thought she went home. We went the next morning and there she was at home.
Yeah.
But I've seen the Lord move these kind of, nothing I have to do with it. And I can't say that only thing I would just say, I'm obedient. And I get satisfaction in doing it, but it's not as a brag. It's not as close to myself as someone because I'm not. But these adventures, and I call that's what they sort of are, when God starts moving through you, is beyond any degree sort of, and you just want to tell people, but you find people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So you have to learn to develop yourself that you just don't tell, only when God tells you. And so you have to, it's like keeping a great treasure within your heart. And you start developing that treasure. And with that treasure there, it's like God surrounds you with holy angels, with His presence, mm-hmm. to keep you because He's guarding that treasure that you're carrying for Him. Because you're doing it in secrecy, God rewards you openly because He sends all heaven down. If you would get down there and say, oh, I'm the greatest thing that ever happened, you know, pretty soon you'd be out there praying for this person, nothing happened. But your heart would be wrong. Everything that we do, our heart has to be what it's all about. Our heart has to be in with God and our hands in His hands. And it works. But people have tried to make this as a something you can explain. You can't explain it. It's down in here. And you live it down in here. You feel it down in here. And He says, we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them. I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you. And I shall be a father. A father. Bible says in the 5th chapter of Ephesians that he wants us as children of God. God wants to be our father. And a father, in the natural, you think a lot of your dad, don't you? Folks, together, try to give their children something wonderful when they want it. But God, you multiply that probably a zillion times, is above what we can do for our kids. But God does it for us now. And sometimes when we make a mistake, we have a tendency of being harder on ourselves than what God is. So we mope around for 2 or 3 weeks not doing anything when God said, hey, I forgot about it. Why don't you quit and forget about it too? And come on, join the gang.
Amen.
Get up. You know, we do that because we're human. And there's something about, that's why we need to pray up, stay up in heaven constantly, aware that God is forever real. He's ever faithful. He knows our heart. He knows the direction. He knows where we're going to be. He knew we was going to be here about 10 years ago, right here tonight. He knows all, is all, and that was all. He's before us. And people can't understand this. I heard a sermon a couple of weeks ago says, well, you know, God only works for those that get out here and, you know, they don't have to really know anything, but basically, he honors what you do. Well, that might be the truth if you're a baby Christian. But I believe there's a growing up. God shall lead his dear children along. He shall guide us. He shall direct us. And we have that peace that passes all understanding, the joy that we can be more than conquerors through him, which loveth not persuaded neither life nor death. We can have that persuasion down here. I'm persuaded nothing shall I be able to separate the love of God, neither the tribulation, nor life, nor death, nor angels, no principalities, you know, even angels. You say, boy, what a wonderful super angel. But God says, there's going to be a time when you'll sing a song the angels can't sing. And God's given you an inheritance beyond the angels.
That's right.
God's given you a growth because you're his child. Yeah. God is your father, a loving father, a loving father. And he give us our elder brother Jesus as the one that loves us. He's going to be the one in that marriage. We're going to be the bride. Praise God, a bride without spot or wrinkle, without any immaturities, anything that's blemishes. We're going to be spotless, and we need to meet God now. Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time that we need to call upon him. He says, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and I'll show you great and mighty things as you know not. Now is the day to seek God. Seeking the Lord out of strength, seek his face forevermore, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of his hearts is made perfect. God is the God of all comfort. It says, God is the God of comfort. He comforts those in all their tribulations, that we might comfort those who are in any trouble by the comfort where we are comforted by God. God is the God of comfort. He's the God of miracles. He's the God of comfort. He's the God of grace. He's the God of wisdom. He's the God of knowledge. And all these wonderful things that we need extra to go on. See, God just doesn't limit me to this. He's already done it. He's just here a while back, give me a gift of healing. And I know that I'm not worthy. But he told me, he says, it's yours. Now, I don't go to him and say, Lord, I got to have this. I never have. But there's something to seek for. Seeking the Lord out of strength, seek his face forevermore. There's a drive within us. The only thing that can quench it is the love of God. There's something in our heart that you can't quench that desire. Only the desire is the love of God. Our desire is, we desire God. We desire. Nothing fulfills us. There's nothing. The Lord showed me tonight, no pastor can, the pastors are basically to get the young people saved. And there comes a time when you should stay there under their tutorship. But God's telling me there's a time beyond that you should go inspired by the Spirit of God and grow. The sky is the limit. But someone's controlling you, you're only going to go to what they teach you. If I went to the 4th grade teacher, and that's as high, that's all I've ever learned. But I kept climbing, you did too, and pretty soon some of you went to college, and that's the way we are. Even though it's the Spirit, we still grow. We mature in the Spirit of God. We mature in what God has called for. We got a place in heaven, but we haven't made heaven yet. But while we're here, we need to fulfill the functions that God desires in us. He has a privilege to serve in God. A privilege to serve the King of Kings. having that great treasure. Oh, hallelujah. The glory, the glory, the glory that comes down as nothing satisfies you like Jesus. There's nothing can satisfy like the redeeming love of God. You know, and I want to come down tonight where you can understand, but every day for quite a few years there, the Lord says, for this day is over, you'll be wide awake, because I told him I couldn't wake up. I was in the fire way up in the high mountains. I was with about seven guys. That time I was real good condition. I just walked because I wanted to talk to the Lord. I got within about a half mile where the cats in the fire went over the top of them. The Spirit of the Lord says, you wide awake? I said, yes, glory! And boy, you know, God is so ever faithful. Like Nancy, she was scheduled to die. Now, how God could do that, I don't really know. Yet she hit one of those, and I was there at the exact time. God says, pray for her, and she'll be saved. And that pickup just blew all apart. And she knew it, too. It was from God. God does great. And you know, I've just come along the wrong time for all these. I've heard pastors tell me, says, God, he don't even talk to people. And I said, well, he might not to you. And they said, well, you're so not humble. You're, you know, that's what they think, and I'm really out in left field. But I serve a real God. My God's faithful. My God is real. And he helps you be over an overcomer.
Yes.
That's how you prove it. You can be an overcomer. That's how you can prove it.
Amen.
You can be an overcomer.
Praise
you can't prove it when you don't have God. You can't have. You just keep fumbling along. You keep making mistakes. You're trying. But you, many people try. And you say, boy, you know, I've had such a terrible day today. You know, I've got mad. The cat kicked the cat out. All these problems. And you know, I've seen a black cat going across the street. And now I know I'm in trouble. You know, all these things that people look to. You know, when God's the reason. God outlaws all the things that come against superstitions. All these things that come against the chemistries that come against many people. They become handicapped because they're afraid to go to work. They see something going across the road. Oh, I've got to turn back. No hope. No, Jesus is the way. The way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. Jesus gives you authority. In the name of Jesus, come against these powers of darkness. Let me have a good day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you can have a good day in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be faithful and there will nobody come because God doesn't give you no sad sack parties. He's with you. Everybody else might be having a bad day, but you're going to have a good day.
Amen.
You're going to have a good day with Jesus.
Amen.
He is glorious, and the Holy Ghost is glory to God. When I've never had so much fun. And I've never been drunk in my life, and I've never felt like I know that it could not be what I'm feeling right now. The glory of God is touching me from the electricity from heaven. I get so full of the Lord that God is real.
Amen.
And it lets me get loud. And he loves me. I'm a little bitty boy he's got. And God lets me see that, you know, a lot of times he just takes me to the back seat of his old big old car. And we just go around. I sit in the back seat and play little toys, you know. But God loves us that much.
Yes, he does. The
Lord told me, says, you know, says, you got to be, you know, it's a privilege just doing that. Many of God's kids, he don't take in the back seat because they don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. They've got all, they've learned all this curriculum about the Lord. They've taken out the Word, but there's no Spirit. The Bible says, in that day we must know Him, not in Word only, but in Spirit and in truth.
Right.
The Spirit comes together. The Spirit starts moving in you, and the Word feeds you. That Word becomes life, and pretty soon you become on fire, and God lets you be a firehouse for Him.
Yeah.
The glory can come upon you, and it comes so fast, and you scare people. You know, you can't because the glory just comes upon you. You know, you don't try not to scare people, but it does, you know. And then God lets you read some people's minds, you know. they're really sort of, you know, he don't do this to hurt nobody, but he lets you know some people are not for you. He's not with you, though. Be not afraid, for I, the Lord thy God, shall go with thee. Consider not their ways, but consider my ways, says the Spirit of God. For I'm here to enable my people might walk joyfully, walk upright, honestly in this last days, that my people may be overcomers. They walk in victory day by day, and they walk in assurance, and I will never leave them, and I'll never forsake them. I am by thy side, and I say, greater is he that's within thee, he's within the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, my people. For I'll give thee a glorious walk, a glorious talk, and I shall raise thee up in that day. And thou shalt remain faithful, and thou shalt live in eternity forever and ever and ever. And thou shalt not have no questions that day, because all the answers shall be answered. But I say, before that day comes, thou must keep seeking the Lord thy God, that I have chosen thee that thou might be a vessel of praise, that thou might minister to my beloved. For I have called thee that thou would not walk in thine own gestures, and thine own vocation, thine own imagination, but thou would walk by my Spirit, for my Spirit is in thee, and thou shalt walk, and thou shalt be consumed by my presence, and I shall deliver thee, and I shall help thee. And be not afraid what men will say, what men will do to thee, for I am here to help thee to cope with life itself, that thou shalt be no longer failures, but thou shalt walk in victory. And I shall walk honestly, because I shall uphold thee with my mighty hand. For I loveth thee, my ones, be not afraid, for I am with thee, saith the Spirit of God. Glory to God. You know, we're made up of feelings, and those feelings, wives and husbands, they're to be as one person. And when we find that in our families, we're all different, but yet God sees us as an individual. We're in His likeness, but yet I've got tendencies that probably are not that good. But God's, as we become overcomers, our bad points, we sort of work on those. We help to, we might become obtainable to be victorious in what God's called us to endeavor to come into. There's things in us that are like blotches. There's things that I do that wouldn't be pretty if everybody knew it in my life. There's things that we, in our thinking, how do we think? How do we think when someone's hurting? Are we caring? Do we have compassion? Do we have charity? And this is what God expects. It's not just having the vitality of many wonderful things happening, which is very special, but goes deeper than that our thinking is as of God, that our thought life is above reproach. No one can question our thought life, but it has to be, because God reads us. Yes. He reads us out, and He knows all about it. When we question God, that's worse many times, because God wants us so trusting that we have perfect trust. And I know this, you grow into these, but He wants to come to that time when we totally trust in Him, that we'll believe that He will not let us go. He is greater than what we're facing. His loving kindness is better than life. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands to thy name. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. While I live, mm-hmm. I will lift up my hands to thy holy name. Mm-hmm. So the process while we're going through this, every moment, every 24 hours, we're a day older, but our God brings us into this place where we sort of, it's the Lord, and we come into it gradually as a child. We accept Jesus as a personal Savior, and that's when we need the help of pastors and Sunday school teachers and lay all these, but there's a time when we become a man, when we gotta go out and soar, and where we get our power from is God. That has to be the top line, and He will give you a blessing, and you'll start hearing from Him. You'll start being a vessel of praise. You'll start being a one that moves through the Spirit. And the people don't have to be afraid, because God will never do nothing wrong against them anyway. But they're afraid to let the Spirit of God get in leadership, afraid they might lose out. But God will go beyond that. God loves us. He's such a perfect gentleman. God won't even hurt your feelings. And that's why people sin. God lets you have your own way. God can force us to serve Him, but He won't do it. He does it through generosity. If you love me, keep my commandments. Call upon me, and I'll answer you. But there's always something we got to do. Got to call upon Him. We need to serve Him. We need to love Him. He says, if you love me, ye will keep my commandments. So if we say we love Him, then we have to be practical and do what we're saying. It means that we're going to observe what He says. And it's not the hidden, the big things that we fumble with. It's the little things about even our manners. Are we polite? I like to see Christians polite, because I think it denotes of God. I don't like to see people overbearing. Let God show me it's not a good characteristic as a Christian. You've seen Christians so overbearing, had to have their own way. Those qualities, even though people may have them, and they might even be a leader, but it's not right in the eyes of God. You might do these things and have a visible calling of the people, but it might not be God's, what God sees. What God's seeing is different, and I've seen individuals that God has more respect for than somebody that has a gigantic calling. And I'm not judging, but God has let me know this. And some people, they're barely flying because they're about to fall down. We grow in the Lord, and we mature in Him, but we never end our tutorship. We got to seek Him. Tomorrow, I got to seek Him greater than I did today. It lets me know that I cannot make it by myself. My old plane is just shot up with holes and everything else, and the only way it's going to fly is seeking God. That's the only way it's going to fly. It sometimes falls apart real fast, gets holes in it. We need the inspiration of God's Spirit upon us all the time. It says He is the God of now, and we live in the now. We don't live in the future. We don't live in the back years. The Bible says, he who looketh back from the plow is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. We live now. We believe for the future. We believe Jesus is coming, but we believe now that we're going to live this day until Jesus takes me from this area. It's quality time. You don't leave your post because Jesus is coming. The army, you wouldn't leave your post because General MacArthur was coming. I wasn't a praying for General MacArthur. We didn't leave. We was done it military style. So you stamped your post to that the proper moment. Then he come through, and that was all over with. But you waited there for hours because of him. And that's the way we need to wait upon God.
Amen.
That's the last part of this. We need to wait upon God. We need to seek Him. We are waiting. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's in that scripture. They that wait upon the Lord. We need to wait upon God. That God says, wait, my child. Wait. We may wait a lifetime, but boy, it'll be beneficial. Oh, hallelujah, it'll be beneficial. It'll be rolls and rolls. The Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. Oh, the glory of God is here tonight. For moth and rust have gone up. A lot of treasures out here. People are laying this night at their earthly treasures. But rather, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Where neither moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there's not even any policemen up there. For where your treasure is, there should your heart be also. And no one will go against our God. You don't have to worry up there about blocking your door. You don't have to worry about nothing. The King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, is all seeing eye. And He knows, sees us right now where we are. He sees us just as vividly. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are over their cries. But as He gets the face of them that do unrighteous. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Him so strong on behalf of His hearts is made perfect toward me. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I shall forgive their sins and heal the land. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sins and sins and scornful. Blessed is the man that walks not in these areas. Blessed is the man, and that's what I'm saying. Church, oh church, we need to quit in ourselves. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law doth he meditate. Oh, hallelujah, you can have wonderful time with just you and the Lord. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, shall bring forth its fruit in the season. Your leaf shall also not wither. He says your leaf is not going to wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the ungodly shall perish. Very true. A Christian is going to go on soaring. The eagle just soars around. The eagle gets up above the problems. The eagle gets up there and he's soaring toward God. He goes, I will lift my eyes to hills. I will lift my eyes to heaven. I will not be looking what man's going to say. I'm going to seek my heavenly Father. He knows the will. He knows my flight. He knows my plight. He knows everything that I need to know. He is real. And we do dishonor to him when we go around and say, oh, you know, look at these phony people. God's aware of everything. I didn't really realize it till God doesn't miss nothing. I lost a nut in a D7 over here for John, and a cross shaft in a D7E, and I couldn't find that nut. Oh, I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know where to tear it. I didn't know I'd go tip the machine upside down or what. But I knew I had to get that nut out of there, because if that got between the pinion and ringer, it was going to take something out. And I had to make sure I couldn't be slowful in that. So I went home praying the night. Spirit of the Lord, let me live with it for a while. And about 10 o'clock at night, the Spirit of the Lord says, you know what? you know, you don't know all that I know. I was there when they built that thing. So if you go down and there's a little bitty hole down there and you'll find it in the frame and the left, you know, I worked on it and I didn't know it. So you find it right there. Sure enough, the next morning I just got a Bible and put it there. Lord, I missed that thing. I didn't even know it was there. But God knows beyond, you know, just like that porcupine. The Spirit of God says, when I tell you stop today, stop. Here I go home that night, and I'd go to start going along, the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord says, stop! And I said, what's wrong? You know, I forgot, I'm human. And there was that porcupine. But God had arranged that there would be a policeman there and a dog catcher all there together. They was right there. I mean, God had arranged. He takes care of all the little issues. The times when you pray for, like Earl, he was dying. And they told me, says, well, there's no need you really coming to Reno because he's going to be dead by the time you get there. And I said, well, thanks. I want to be praying anyway for him. So I get to Reno and my dad met me and he says, you know, Earl's still living, they say. And my dad was really heavy, you know, because Earl was the favorite son. He was. Earl was a special. If I had a special, he was just a, Earl worked for Governor Brown. Earl was a real smart fellow. He was not like me, a territory man like me. He was, Earl was really bright and very good looking, 6 foot with red hair, and the hair was curly, really a nice looking young fellow. So we got there and I went in there and I said, well, can I go in and just be with him? The nurse said, yes, but I don't want any noise. I'd already been told this so many times, I said, okay, I'll go in. So I pray in the spirit and I looked at my watch and it was certain time. 2 hours and 15 minutes, Spirit of God said, look at your watch. And I looked up, 2 hours and 15 minutes, Earl's eyes opened right up and says, hey, you're here to see this? Yes, I am. But I've seen God move too many times.
Yes.
And he is real. I hear people say, well, you know, you really don't know, but you can know. God brings us to a place, God's not stupid. And we put him down to our mentality. And God is beyond that. Hath unknown, hath unearned, the everlasting God, the creator. Faith is not needed in God. He's beyond us. He's beyond. He knows our callings. But you know, God gave me a dream about Earl. Now, how did God know all that? You say, how did God know? But I seen him in the casket. The year before he was in the casket. It was a very tough year. And I had to be careful. I didn't tell nobody. But I thought about all these situations. God pre-knows. He's there on time. He never misses. He never misses nothing. I've put a caterpillar winch. Wouldn't work. And they had better mechanics than me, I'm persuaded. And it couldn't get it run. It would spool out, but it would break and stay on when it spooled back in. And Phil Donald, the store manager, told me, said, you better go to John, try to satisfy him. John got saved before he died, but John was a pretty hard man. But the Lord had told me that my customers would be my congregation. So I started really praying for him. And I did. John got saved before he got right with God, before he left. And he told my son, he said, tell your dad I got saved. But I knew God was going to. But in that time, John was a little bit hard at times. And John would put you on a more stress than you could handle sometimes. He said, I'm not going to let you leave this place until you fix this witch. He said, you don't fix it, you're going to tear it apart until it's fixed. Boy, that's pretty ultimatum. You know, that's why I don't like being a mechanic. I'd rather operate because about this kind of situation. But God is God. And so I started praying. I couldn't find anything wrong, but I remember one little slug in the lube system. I didn't know which way it went, and I started praying. The Spirit of the Lord says, that's your trouble. He turned and put it the other way and said, backwards. I could not see any difference, but there must have been something. And it would come up to 180 pounds. It's supposed to go up to 225 to release that brake. It wouldn't come up there. It'd come up. Everything else worked okay, but that one section didn't work right. And wasn't sure if it had an internal leak or whatever, so he had to tear it all apart basically to see if there was any other problems hidden. And that's the way we are. God knows our need. And so that turned, which works satisfied. I've never had no more trouble. But the same way of our lives, no one really knows what we need but Jesus.
Amen.
There's no one that can talk to your heart like Jesus. You need to have that very special one-to-one acquaintance with your God. God's here to make himself available to those that seek him. And there's no guessing. He's real. And he don't mind you asking him. You can come into his house. He don't mind. He appreciates it when you ask him. He appreciates it. God's so good that he made you in his likeness, in his image, that you might have a comfortable life while you're here, when doing that, you can call upon Him. He will answer your needs and keep you in completeness in Him until He takes you home. What a wonderful blessing. Until He takes us home, that we can have the assurance. I hope this touches. Glory.
Amen. It did touch me.
You know, the Full Gospel Witness Man, I did get to go on a, when I said the Full Gospel Witness Man, I got to go to about, I don't know, 80 or 90 chapters, quite a few, all the West Coast. But I started seeing God could really minister to people. You know, it just, all you do is share your testimony. This time I don't know Cap McCann, we don't know much, but I sure know my God.
Amen.
You start telling a little bit about a cat falling off a low bed or something pretty soon, get these guys sort of interested, and God just uses it for His glory. I just tell them I'm a little simple nobody, but love the Lord.
And praise the Lord.
I've seen a lot of people, you know, and it's exciting seeing what God can do with us underprivileged. In the world we live in, they're underprivileged. Boy, they don't know how much fun I have. Boy, they don't know. I don't go toot my horn. I just say, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, why is he so happy? Oh, I'm just, they think I'm sort of simple up here. That's why I'm happy. But there was a day that I wasn't that happy. Well, when I prayed for those years, and that first year after God really touched my heart in a very special way, I must have went about 8 months. And I was, for 8 months, I was solid. No matter what, see, I mean, I had to derate myself every place I went because the Spirit of God was just so wonderful.
Amen.
God proved to me that you know, it's there, glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Like, you know, God give me time to change what He called me into. I don't think too many people know about it. It's a very special calling. God started speaking to my heart 37 years ago and told me, he said, my church doesn't really want me in the church, basically. They want His name, and it's just to be a more of a ritual. Sort of, God wants to live in their hearts.
Amen.
Such a blessing. I used to see these old sad sacks. I said, you know, God just wants to bless you. Woo, boy. This one pastor come to me and says, I don't want you to go up and pray with me. I said, why not? Because he said, well, nobody sees miracles like you do. I'm okay, then I'll sit out the car and have fun. Don't go up by yourself. I said, God's not telling me to go. And I said, boy, you assume that you're up with us, pastor. And I said, I didn't say that. I said, God's the one who positions. Oh. Jess had a friend, his name was Roy.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy got cancer. And there was another man, I'm trying to think his name, Dugan. I got Dugan to go up with me. That was when I first was starting to go see Roy. God healed him. And Jess seen that, and it really, you know, we never know the influence that we have if we'll seek God's way, because we influence other people. That's what God wants it. He don't want us to toot our own horn, but they just, and when that started to burn up, he says, would you pray for it? And I said, Lord, Jess, I said, I'm here to be a mechanic. I said, I was just sort of teasing him. I said, I'll take it off and overhaul it for you. No, I'm in big trouble. He said, please. He says, I said, God don't work, do those kind of things. That's what I found out later. He does do those kind of things. He said, that's sort of my department as a mechanic. I sort of smiled. I said, I'm really earnest. He said, if you pray for it, God will heal it. Well, I said, let me seek the Lord. So I went out. Spirit of the Lord said, if you can get rid of the unbelief, I'll do it. So didn't you know that here's about three men walked up and says, what you doing? I said, I'm going to pray for this darn. Anybody laughed at me? I said, if you guys don't believe it, leave. I took my spot. You know. So I said, Jess, go put oil in it. And I said, it'll run. And that starting engine never did run good until that time. It run good from then on. Mag worked good. And the carburetor worked good. Everything was, it was just a wore out. It was a wore out engine. But
it got a Holy Ghost overhaul.
But, you know, I just started seeing that God was the answer to all these.
Praise the Lord.
And I went down to a final drive down here, and I seen the final drive just dry up, praying for it. But drying up, it means the seals were leaking. And come back next morning, it's fine.
Praise
you know, and you know, those, I know I talk a lot, but God's done a lot. I can't refuse Him.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.